Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready?
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorda, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. And we got a great show for you today. And if you want to call and ask questions, you can call in right now, 323-870-3857. And today we're going to talk about, is Lomachenko the front runner for Kambosos? We'll let you know. We also got an update on the Canelo situation. Is he going to sign with PBC? Is he going to sign with Matchroom? We'll let you know about it. But first, we get started with ESPN Plus, the big one, Kell Brook versus Amir Khan. This was a big fight maybe 10 years ago, but hey, listen, man, it happened yesterday, and it is what it is, man. Kell Brook wins by TKO over Amir Khan in the sixth round. Brook looked good in this fight. You could tell he waited a long time, and nothing else mattered to him but this fight. I mean, I've never seen him that motivated. He wanted to get in there and prove a point. And you could tell after that first round, man, there was nothing. He was going to win this fight. He just had that kind of drive. You could see it, you know. He wobbled Khan in the first round, and it looked like Khan never really recovered, I don't think. I mean, I thought Khan would have an edge in speed here, but that really wasn't the case. Khan looked a lot slower than he used to be. Brook put a ton of pressure on him and didn't worry about getting hit. I think he felt Khan's power early and just didn't care. I think he decided he was going to walk right through it. Khan didn't seem to have anything that could really keep Brook off him or anything like that. Brook seemed to hurt Khan at least once every round. Either he wobbled him or he buzzed him. There was something every single round. In the sixth round, Brook hurt him again, and the referee jumped in and stopped the fight. You could say that the fight was stopped a little early, okay? You could say that, but honestly, I think it was a good stoppage. Khan was offering up little resistance. He wasn't going to win the fight. His face was getting smashed. So that was, to me, it was a good stoppage. Like I said, you could have said it was a little early. I get you. I don't hate that, but it just wasn't, you know, man, look, it wasn't in the cards for him. I don't need to see. The guy was beat, put it that way. Khan said after the fight that the love of the sport is no longer there. He didn't say he would retire, but it sounds like that's where he's going, man. Kell Brook looked very good in this fight, looked very sharp. But let's remember, it was a shot, Amir Khan, in there. And Amir Khan was shot. Make no mistake about that. He couldn't, you know, he had no more speed. He had no punch resistance. He had no real movement. Everything seemed to be gone. You know, the reflexes were gone. Everything seemed to be gone. I hope that Kell Brook, personally, I'd like to see Kell Brook go out on top. This was the biggest fight that, you know, he had. He wanted this for so long, man. I mean, when they talked about 18 years that he wanted this fight, he said he was better than Khan. And he said he just never got the backing. He never got the promoters behind him because he didn't win that medal. You know what I mean? You know, he got his revenge last night, man, and he's got to be on top of the world. There's already talk about him fighting Chris Eubank Jr. I hope he takes it. I hope he takes this, and I hope he rides off in the sunset. Notorious VC said, I picked Khan. I absolutely picked Khan in this fight. I didn't think that Brook had anything left, you know. I mean, he's taken some big punches, some big fights, you know. I didn't think he had anything left, but I'll be honest with you. I said I was picking Khan, but I was definitely rooting for Kell Brook. And did you watch, I don't know, Beeb, did you catch the off the gloves off, the gloves are off or whatever?
Yeah.
That was good. And you could see, and I think, who's the guy that hosted again?
Johnny Nelson,
that's right. Johnny Nelson said that Amir Khan definitely won that event because he's so media savvy and everything. And you could see Brook, like you said, man, Brooke was just, you know, he was flustered at times and everything like that, but you could tell that he just wanted this fight, man, so bad.
Here's the thing. People sometimes misconstrue when a guy is in somebody's head. I've said this before. Sometimes it's a good thing when you let somebody in your head, because that makes you think about that person all the time, and you're focusing on that person all the time, and you're almost obsessed with that person. And sometimes, not sometimes, in a lot of cases in a big fight, you have to be obsessed with your opponent, right? Because once you become complacent,
yep,
ball game's over right then and there. So what I said after that, gloves are off, yeah, he's in his head, but he lit a fire under him, right?
Yeah.
That's like poking the bear, right? Poking, right? And what happened? Sometimes
almost like
that
he
bear
was talking down to him. Did you get that?
It was very condescending.
Very condescending.
And
I didn't like that at all, man.
Brooke just took that and kept letting it, you know, soaking it in. And he unleashed all of that ferocity, right? All of that rage on fight night. And Khan going into that ring before the bell even rang looked like he didn't want to be there.
Kell Brook, you can tell, wanted to be there. Khan, not so much, man.
I got goosebumps, man. Kell Brook's entrance, man. This is why I've been telling people for years. This is how we do it in the UK, man. This is how we do it. You know, and everyone knows I got dual citizenship. I got the flat in Manchester.
It's a nice
flat,
too.
But my second home away from home has always been Sheffield. They treat me very well down there as well. So, I was pulling for Brooke, man. I knew Brooke's timing, his precision. Khan is that guy. He just throws a lot of punches without purpose. You know, throws those flurries. It's almost like throwing the plate of spaghetti up against the wall, hoping a couple strands are going to stick. That's how Khan combinations are sometimes. And I thought going in he would have the hand speed. But the big problem is those hands are too fast for his feet, because his hands are always ahead of his feet, and he's always leaning in because his hands are starting too far ahead of his feet. And he's always makes that one mistake that his opponent's always able to capitalize on, and they land that one fight-changing punch, which Brooke did. It was kind of like a hybrid jab hook type punch, right? It was like a power jab, almost like a half hook, half jab type punch. And it was a power punch, but it was with the lean hand. And once he hurt Khan with that, Khan's legs, you know, got those spaghetti legs.
Yeah.
And he never recovered.
No. It was in that first round too. Where he got buzzed, and, you know, like I said, you saw him, you know, do the dance or whatever. Every round after that, he did something. You know, there was something there that I tell you what, but I couldn't be happier for Brooke.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I was happy for Brooke.
Especially after watching that show, and I wanted Brooke to win. I just didn't think he had enough. I thought Khan's speed, and Khan's going to really, you know, it's going to be
Brooke was
tough.
The favorite. He was a slight favorite, too.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was like a minus 165. Khan was like a plus 145. It was close in the odds.
Yeah,
I picked Brooke because I've never been a fan of Khan's style. Just never been a fan of his style. And I've always loved Brooke's style. Like Brooke is a really good fighter. I just like how Brooke fights.
Yeah,
he's solid.
You know, he's a solid fighter, man.
I love that Ingle gym style of fighting. I like
that guy is
Galahad.
A great trainer, man. He
I
really
like all
is.
Those guys.
Yeah,
I like all those guys in that gym. You know, that Ingle gym.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Tony Boswell. We appreciate it. Let's break down Khan's style here for a minute, because that jab didn't seem to be there last night. That speed wasn't here last night. And they seem to be Bomac seemed to be giving him good instruction in there. You know, he was ready. You know, he was trained. You know, he was. I mean, they seem to be giving him good instruction. The one thing, I'm wondering, like, especially like in the, right around the third or fourth round, he's getting hit with right hand. why doesn't he start using that jab, and why doesn't he start moving the opposite way, at least to try to create something?
Here's the thing, and if you ever hear a fighter say this, because I've heard fighters say this before, my brain wanted to do things, yeah, but my body was not responding to what my brain
that's the thing that
wanted to do.
That's how you know it's time.
And that's what that looked like yesterday.
Yeah. His reflexes look shot.
Yeah.
I mean, he really did.
I know I said this, and you may have said this too. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but we both said that these guys were definitely have declined.
Yeah,
we thought that they've declined, pretty similarly, and they were at the same point in their career. But it was pretty obvious last night that Brook had a lot more left than Khan did.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that a lot of that banter by Khan to begin with, I think he knew. I think he knew what he had left.
Yeah, he knew.
You go to the gym every day.
You know.
You know. You know you're not in the best shape of your life. You know you're not what you used to be. You know.
You know.
What did Andre Ward say?
Yeah, Andre Ward said, you know, all that talk before the fight, was he trying to convince Brooke or was he trying to convince himself?
That's a great point. Yeah, that's the point.
And that was the line of the night right there.
It really was.
That couldn't have been more poignant.
No. Because again, man, I mean, it was just, you got to take all the, you know, you're taking into consideration what Kell Brook, you know, Kell Brook looks at Amir's career and says, man, that should have been me, you know, and he believes it. And he believes that should have been him, you know, and really, who's the more accomplished guy here? I mean, listen, man, Kell Brook has fought a lot of people. He's fought a lot of good guys, beat Sean Porter, came to the U.S. and beat Sean Porter. I think it was in the U.S. I'm fairly certain it was in the U.S.
It was in the U.S., yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
So, Khan's won titles and everything like that, but I don't know, man. They both got their shine and the, you know.
You know what the interesting thing, the build-up to this fight was why did it mean so much to Brooke that Khan respected him? All right, it's almost like Brooke really admired Khan as a fighter and what he's accomplished, and he wanted Khan to reciprocate that towards him.
Right.
It was amazing how much he wanted Khan to acknowledge him and appreciate him. Instead of saying, I don't give a fuck what this guy thinks, he really cared what Khan thought.
That's the only way.
And it meant the world to him.
Kind of emotion out of somebody.
And you could see that it meant the world to him when Khan finally did acknowledge him after the fight.
Yes.
His face fucking lit up. It glowed. You know, and obviously we're analysts, we're supposed to be unbiased, but we were both rooting for Brooke yesterday.
Yeah,
it's hard to not. And you probably didn't watch this fight because the misogynist that you are, but Tasha Jonas.
Is that on there?
I cried a little bit when she won her world title, man.
Oh.
I was happy for her, man. I choked up a little bit, man. The beef has emotions, man.
You're soft, man. Look at you. Yeah. You're straight soft, boy. You're a straight sucker.
Look, it's okay, Lewis. I don't need to kiss you. Okay. But it was emotional, man. It was emotional.
When she
finally won a world title.
Yeah. I didn't even know that fight was on there last night. I think we fast forwarded to that one.
Of course you did. That's when you were at the stove with the Jiffy Pop.
I was making the popcorn for the real fight coming up.
Horrible, man. Using opinions of Eric Lloyd.
HR.
Not reflective of Ringside Reporter or Beeb Industries.
Notoriously, acknowledge me like Roman Reigns. And he's got it always says, acknowledge me, you know, or something like that, I think.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny, man. I tell you, man, I think Khan does retire after this fight, though.
Oh, yeah.
I really do.
He's not going to fight again. There's no way.
Yeah, he's not there, man.
He's done, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. He's done. And, I mean, I think he wants to hold a press conference to announce it or whatever, you know, whatever
yeah,
they do now.
That's
and I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I wonder what, and I didn't see it. I wonder what BOMAC's reaction was to it. Crawford didn't look too pleased after the fight, but I wonder what their reactions to this were, you know?
Yeah, if you go on YouTube, he was being interviewed after the fight, and he was gracious, you know? He gave Dominic Engel credit and everything. He said they were well-prepared, and yeah, there was no bad blood at the end, and everyone acknowledged everybody. It was nice.
I wonder, you know, in the camp, and again, we'll never know this, we'll never see this or be privy to it or anything like that. If they knew going in what kind of trouble he was going to have in that fight, they would have to, right?
You know, if BOMAC's getting 10-20% of the purse,
yeah,
John's getting like 3-4 million. I mean, yeah. you're not gonna turn that money up.
No,
you're just not gonna do it.
That's the thing, and I don't know that anybody, you know, there's very few trainers that will let you know when they're getting that much money that you got no shot in there. You know
Lou,
what I mean?
Lou Duva once said years later, when he sent Johnny Bumpus into a fight, he goes, "I knew he was shot, but he still sent him in there." And that Lou Duva was on the Olympic training team.
Yeah.
He was highly regarded trainer, right? All the champions he trained, and he admitted he sent someone in their shot. And I think trainers know. You know who would never do that? And I believe this is Redmond Edwards, because Julian Williams is trainer.
I agree with that.
He would never do it. He's a straight shooter, that guy. He's one of the guys I respect the most in boxing.
For sure.
I've had conversations with him before, and we've disagreed on a lot of things, but I truly believe that, you know, I asked him some tough questions, and, you know, he answered them really honestly, and I believe that guy is a real one, you know?
Yeah, I believe so, too. And, I mean, sometimes it's, you know, it's always about money, and it's always about this and that, but, I agree with you. I don't know that he would send. There's very few people that would send these guys out shot.
And then when I get in these arguments with these tough guy fans online and say, this guy should have done this, you know what I say to them? I turn it around on them. I said, well, if that was your son in the ring and you were training your son and you were in the corner, what would you have done? Would you have pulled him out? Would you have let him get his vision in his eye, or, you know, have him get a concussion or be at risk of brain damage? What would you do?
Yeah.
If that was your son in there. So.
Yeah, I agree. Tony Boswell, thank you. He says, any thoughts on Munguia winning? Yeah, we're going to get to that fight here in just a few minutes, actually. It was great to see Brooke. There was already talk about him fighting Eubank afterwards. What would you like to see Brooke do next? I would like to see him ride off in the sunset.
I want to see him ride off in the sunset, too.
Because I don't think he'll ever be as motivated for a fight as he was here.
Well,
and really, he's done it all, right? I mean, he's fought the top, the cream of the crop, in boxing, not just in his division, in boxing. He fought Triple G in his prime, all right? He's fought Sean Porter, Errol Spence, Terrence Crawford. He's won a title, champion. What else is there for him, man?
I think that Eubank Jr. fight's going to happen. They both don't like each other, but people
Eubank's
are already talking
easy guy
about
not to like, man. You know, he's an easy guy. Him and his father both are just easy people not to like. I like his dad. I'm not crazy about him. Yeah, I'm lukewarm on him. His dad was just kind of a funny guy. You know what I mean? Like,
he had no ill will.
Right. No ill will. Whereas this guy is like a legit, this is the bad guy. You know what I mean? He gives off that vibe like I'm an
he's
idiot.
He's got a real
jerk, you know.
He's got a real meanness to him. Right?
Yes.
When you're seeing Billy Joe Saunders getting beat up, and you're watching it on television and you're laughing at it, and he's very sadistic.
Yes. Yes. And I know that Eubank Sr. had a mean streak, no question about it. You have to. You don't get to this level if you don't have a mean streak.
But he was gracious, too. He's very gracious.
Very sportsmanlike. Yeah, who do you think wins that fight? I think Eubank wipes that guy.
You'd have to favor Eubank in there.
Yeah.
That one, yeah.
Yeah.
But once again, I'll be pulling for Brooke.
I'll be pulling for Brooke, too, but that's a tough one, man. That's a tough one. Somebody says Eubank Jr. is the sack. Yeah, I get it. I get it. I get that. But he's got a strong handshake. He was standing next to me in the urinal. And
I was about to say, is that the same thing fucking Chandler Rimm? The guy got a strong handshake.
Yeah. He had a strong handshake. I reached over when he was at a urinal and I shook his hand, you know.
Like a strong handshake, man. Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. So that was the only fight worth talking about on ESPN Plus. The undercard was, you know, whatever.
Tasha Jonas.
Whatever. You want to talk about the Tasha Jonas fight?
No, we don't have to talk about
it. Yeah, neither do I. All right. So there you go.
Because I don't want to talk about something that you're not interested in. So.
All right. Thanks.
I'm going to concede to you, since you are the producer of the show.
Sure. All right, let's talk about the zone here. Jaime Munguia versus Demetrius Ballard. Munguia wins via third round TKO over Ballard, man. Munguia looked good here. He throws combinations pretty well. He gives you good pressure. It's a good win. Went three rounds. It's a good win, you know. Munguia is now 39-0. All right, babe. Munguia is now 39-0. Exactly what are we waiting for here? Are we going to give this guy a title shot against the top or just a top guy? He's not, you know, listen, man, he's fighting a lot of guys, you know. He's fought some, you know, good guys, Terriano Johnson, but those guys, they're not what they were. You know what I mean? He's fighting them way past their expiration date.
Yeah.
What's going on with this guy? What is this,
well,
man? He's 39-0.
While one thing I do like what they're doing is while they are waiting for the big fight, they're trying to keep him active, right? So he's going to be Demetrius Andre's mandatory pretty soon at 160.
Demetrius Andre is going to move up, isn't he?
He'll probably move up.
So he ain't going to fight Demetrius Andre. So he'll fight, you know.
He'll fight for the vacant WBO title.
Who's he going to fight?
I don't know who's going to be there.
You know what I mean? Like,
I don't even know.
Get this guy a fight already. Either you believe in him or you don't believe him.
But once again, like, Andre's tied up. Jermall Charlo's going to be tied up.
Yeah.
He's not gonna fight this kid, right?
Nah.
Golovkin's going to be
fighting
Canelo.
Tied up. He may be fighting Canelo, yeah. I don't think Golovkin wants to fight Canelo again. I mean, that's what they're saying.
Yeah, I don't.
That's what
he said.
Yeah, that's what he said. He says, you know, I already beat him twice. There's no reason for me to fight him again.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yes, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen with I don't know. He'll probably fight. I think Golovkin will fight Canelo. It'd be too much money.
For all that money? For all that money. Are you crazy?
He'll fight Canelo. I don't think he won't fight Canelo. I don't buy that.
I don't either. You think they're protecting Munguia, man? I think they're protecting him. I'll be honest with you. I think they're protecting him.
I don't. I think, you know, like I said, the big fights aren't there.
There's been plenty of – he's 39-0. There's been plenty of opportunity to get him.
Well, here's one thing they did do. They did pull him out of the Golovkin fight. Like, he was mentioned as an opponent for Golovkin before. But the commission –
The commission pulled him out. Yeah,
commission
pulled him out, which is nonsense.
He was going to take it.
All right.
Yeah, Jennebeck is the
number one contender for the WBO.
Right now? But I think Munguia is like right behind him, and he's gonna take that slot.
Well, if that's Jennebeck. The case, yeah.
Jennebeck is the mandatory. That is correct
for the regular WBO title.
I think Jennebeck is the mandatory, but I'm not sure if he's ranked number one or not.
Munguia is ranked number one in the WBC. There you have Charlo there as a champion, and he's also for the WBO, and that's
He's ranked number one in the WBO too, right?
Yeah, and then you got Jennebeck, Amicanali.
Jennebeck is the mandatory, but once again, you don't have to be ranked number one to be the mandatory.
And that guy, let me tell you what, that guy is good.
Yeah, he's ranked number one.
That's a good fight, man.
Yeah.
That's Munguia, a good fight. That's not, you know.
I knew Jennebeck was the mandatory, but Munguia is ranked number one.
Yeah, that's a good fight, man. That's not a bad fight.
just like when White was ranked number one and Brazil was ranked number five, but Brazil was the mandatory in the WBC. I mean,
and his manager, it is like his manager was right there. You know what I mean?
You can't make this shit up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Munguia is ranked number one by the WBC and the WBO, so he will eventually be getting a title shot.
Yeah.
Now, if he's offered a title shot against Charlo and he turns it down, then you know, or they turn it down, then I will have to concede your point. But I haven't seen him offered a fight from one of the champions at 160 yet, and he's turned it down. So at this point, you know, I can't say they're protecting him right now. Is he being matched? Is he being maxed possibly carefully right now, strategically? Yeah. But, you know, they're waiting for the title shot. So why are they going to take a tough – you're ranked number one by the WBC and WBO. You just fucking sit on those rankings until you're mandated to fight for a title. You're not going to take any crazy fights.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But at the same time, I mean, he's got nobody on his resume either.
Oh, you're talking about from even at 154, you're criticizing his resume at 154 as
criticizing
well.
Criticizing all of it.
All right. It's a fair point. I mean, he hasn't really fought a big name yet. You're correct.
Yeah. You know? Just like Tank. LBC Most Wanted says rumors Munguia versus Janna Back for the vacant title. Yeah, that makes sense. That's a good fight, man. Says that. I'll take that. Yeah, I'll take it too. LBC says just like Tank. Leave Tank. Now, listen, man. Tank's fought what's his name? Leo Santa Cruz. Tank's fought some bigger names. He hasn't fought a lot of bigger names, but he's fought some bigger guys. You know what I mean? Hey, and whatever, yeah. Man. Tank's fighting Raleigh Romero next. It doesn't get bigger than that guy, right?
Well,
Romero?
Shaw Romero was undefeated when he fought Rosado. I think he had one loss. I think he lost to Golovkin. That wasn't a bad fight. The Rosado fight's not a bad fight.
No, Rosado fight wasn't a bad fight.
It wasn't a bad fight. The Toronto Johnson fight was a very, very good fight, you know.
But Johnson wasn't, again, man, Johnson, when he fought him, again, he's way past his expiration, man.
Well, you're right. I guess he's got an okay resume, but yeah. You're right. I mean, there is no names on there yet.
Yeah.
But he is 23 years old. He's young. I don't know. I guess you're right. This is the year for a big fight. Same thing with Chris Eubank Jr., though, right? He's got Billy Joe Saunders.
Which he lost to.
And he's got, what's his name there?
Liam Smith, wasn't it? Was that
the other guy. The guy that Crotch fought.
Oh, Groves.
George Groves. Other than George Groves and Billy Joe Saunders, who is, James Nagale, who was kind of past it. But those are three names on Chris Eubank's resume. So he's another guy, but here's the difference. Chris Eubank Jr. is like 33. So.
Yeah. Let's see here. Before we go to the phones real quick, let's just do the, let's see. Oh, one more. This took place in Canada. There was no, this fight took place in Montreal. There were no visitors allowed. Big Mac, Arslanabek Makhmudov, wins by 6-round TKO. The win over Marius Wach, by the way. The win puts Big Mac at 14-0 as a heavyweight. He's an up-and-comer, just somebody to watch. Wach is definitely a good name for him. I know Walk is past his prime here, but it'll be interesting to see what's next for Arslanabek. Let's see here. Yeah, Arslanabek.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see what's next for him here. Now, I watched the highlights of the video. I didn't actually see the entire fight. I believe it was six rounds. From what I saw, he looked more like a slugger. You know what I mean? He didn't look real technical at all. But, again, I didn't see the fight in its entirety. I saw highlights of it. So, you know, is what it is. But 14-0 is a heavyweight. I'll be listen, man, we're always jonesing for good heavyweights here, so maybe we might have one here.
Yeah.
All right, so let's see what's coming up, and then we're going to go to the phones here. February 26th, Glasgow, Scotland on ESPN+. Josh Taylor versus Jack Catterall, 12 rounds for Taylor's WBC, all the belts, all his welterweight belts, the undisputed title. Robeson Ramirez versus Eric Donovan, 10 rounds featherweights. Nick Campbell versus Jay McFarland, 10 rounds heavyweights. There it is, and that's about it there. Now, before I come back to that fight, February 26th, also Las Vegas on Showtime, Chris Colbert versus Hector Luis Garza, 12 rounds of WBA junior lightweight eliminator. Gary Antoine Russell versus Victor Postol. That's a good fight. I'm looking forward to that fight. That is a really good fight.
Very good fight.
On the undercard also, Jerwin Anacajas versus Fernando Martinez, 12 rounds junior bantamweight. Yeah, this card is stacked here, man.
Yeah.
That's a good fight. And then Rancis Bartholomew versus the dreaded TBA on that card. Gary Antoine Russell versus Victor Postol. That's a good fight. Jerwin Anacajas. Anacajas is always, to me, he's always must-see TV. I like him, man. February 26th in Dubai, Guillermo Wigandow versus Vincent Astrolabio, 12 rounds bantamweights, but it's not, doesn't look like it's televised here. February 26th also, let's see here, in San Antonio, Texas, no television, Andrew Tabidi versus Robert Silva, 10 rounds cruiserweights. And February 27th, London, on the zone, Lawrence Okolie versus Michael Cheslak. 12 rounds for Coley's WBO cruiserweight title. So not bad, not bad. Kareem Griffey versus Jordan Gill, 12 rounds for Griffey's European featherweight title. Anthony Fowler also on that undercard. Gao Yafai also on that undercard. Campbell Hatton on that undercard. Fabio Wardley. So, you know, and those are going to be squash matches, I get you, but a lot of star power on there, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
I like Okolie, too. I enjoy watching him fight.
I do, too.
I think he's getting better, you know.
Yeah.
I think he's improving.
How many times did Sergio Mora say check hook on the broadcast last night?
He's even saying check right hand now, too.
What a moron. He's a fighter. Like, he should know what this is.
Oh, yeah. I knew that was going to aggravate you.
Oh, my God.
Every time I hear him say it, I hear you in my head saying, what an idiot. This is fucking hilarious. I'll be watching it, he'll be saying it. I hear in my head, what an idiot. in the Eric Lorda voice.
He's going to throw his check left hook again. All right, so the ESPN Plus card, the Josh Taylor versus Jack Catterall. Catterall is the mandatory here for the belt, for one of the belts anyway. This is a squash match.
Is it?
I think so.
Okay.
You think so?
I thought so, but people are telling me Catterall's he can present problems. I don't think he's going to win the
put
fight.
Put your money where your mouth is, son. I don't see it, but
I'm hearing things about Catterall could be a tough fight.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Catterall's getting smashed.
I don't see it. I just don't see it.
No, I don't either. He's getting smashed. He's getting put out early. Robesy Ramirez versus Eric Donovan. This should be another squash. Robesy should get him. So there you go. The Gary Antoine Russell fight, man, that's a good fight. I mean, I know Postol's not what he once was, but that's a good test. That guy is tall. Yeah. He's got a good jab. Moves fairly well. That's a good fight. That's a very good fight, man.
Most certainly is.
And it's good to see at least Gary Russell fighting anyway. At least one of the Gary Russells fighting. So there you go. All right, let's go to ringside here. Ringside, Robert.
Hello,
530,
guys.
You're live.
How are you, guys?
Robbie, what's happening? We're good.
Not much. How you feeling, man? Oh, I'm feeling good, man.
How you feeling? How was your day?
Yeah. Day's okay.
How was your day?
Day has been okay, man. I'm glad Cal Brook won. You know, you guys are talking about Chris Eubank. I would love to see Cal Brook fight Conor Benn. I think that would be a much
never
more...
happening.
No? You don't think so?
Won't happen. I wouldn't mind seeing it, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think he's going to fight Eubank either because Eubank isn't he at 160.
He'll fight Eubank.
He'll fight Eubank. How much money's in there? Yeah, he'll fight.
That fight's done, brother. Trust me.
Okay.
They'll be fighting at like one. That'll be a 157 pound catch weight fight. They'll fight. Trust me.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? I'm not gonna hate that either. But I'd like to see because Conor Benn even said after the fight, he said I'd love to fight him. You know. Because from what I'm hearing, I guess they're going to put Chris Van Heerden in against Conor Benn next. Because it was supposed to be Maurice Hooker, but Hooker got hurt in training camp. So I guess it's going to be Van Heerden. Chris, he'll take any fight.
I don't hate the fight.
Yeah, Van Heerden's a pretty good fighter, man.
Yeah.
I don't hate the fight.
Well, One thing I like about Chris is he'll take any fight that's offered. I mean, he had the guts, man. Yeah. Well, he had the guts to step in with Boots Ennis, and I was hoping that they would rematch because of that headbutt, because I think that would have been a good fight, but he never got the opportunity to rematch that. So he should give Conor Benn an interesting fight, to say the least.
Yeah, Ben is strong, though, man. I tell you what, Conor is strong, man.
Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. And, you know, I've heard more and more interviews with him lately. And the guy can talk, too. He's very good with a microphone. So, but, yeah, I guess that's going to happen in a couple of weeks. They're going to fight. And as far as Munguia, I kind of feel sorry for him. But the fight that you suggest that sounds like a good one if Andre vacates, which it looks like he might do. So,
yeah.
Hey, I'm very happy with the schedule that we got so far this year. And I got no complaints at all, man. You know, this is good. And having fights on a Sunday, I like that because, you know, there's no more football, so why not put fights on a Sunday? I'm not going to complain
might
about
as well.
That. You know? So, you know,
that's the thing. Like, I don't remember there ever being this much boxing on being able to be watched ever in my life. Even when it was on ABC and NBC,
you can never
see all these international cards that you're able to see now. And that's due to these apps. People, you know, they can say whatever they want. You know, you hear people from certain sectors criticize the Zone and ESPN Plus, but they're giving us access to fights that we never would have been able to watch before. So,
well,
there's a lot
Joe,
of boxing available.
Any fight you
want to
see, you can watch. Put it that way.
Yeah,
with YouTube
Joe,
and everything like that, any fight that you want to see.
I don't think boxing is dying at all. I think boxing is definitely in the best place it's ever been in.
There's so much boxing on now. How could it be dying? You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
There's too much at all.
Yeah.
I just
it may be
a niche sport, but it doesn't mean it's dying.
Right.
Nope. And as far as the apps are concerned, I will criticize ESPN Plus all day. Their fights are difficult to access. If you don't watch them live, you're not going to see them. Going to their archives is incredibly difficult. DAZN is a lot easier to navigate, and it's a lot easier to find the fights that you want to see. Yeah. So,
I agree with that.
Yeah. If ESPN Plus wants to improve their app, they need to make their boxing more accessible.
They're not going to do that because that's not the focal point of that app, Robert.
No, I know. Nope, it's not. You know, it's one of the many categories, so it doesn't care. But no, DAZN is a lot easier to use, and I'll publicly say right now, I was completely wrong for thinking that these things wouldn't work. Now, I like the DAZN. I will.
Say
just
it.
A minute, Eric. I like the DAZN app because it's a lot easier to use. ESPN Plus, I'll criticize all day.
Robbie, who showed you how to use the DAZN app?
You helped me with that, Beeb, and I thank you very much for that.
Barry Horowitz?
Barry Horowitz?
No, his name is Joe.
The funniest thing, we're on the phone, right? And he's sitting there yelling at his mother, oh, I'm going to talk to Joe. He'll figure it out for us.
Yep.
Poor Mrs. Herrick, man. It's like she doesn't do enough over there.
My mom's good people, guys, so, you know.
Your mom.
Wasn't it her birthday a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Yep.
At the end of January.
Did you take her out to dinner?
Yes, I did.
Did you take her out?
Yeah, we went to Olive Garden, man.
Did you pay? Did you pay?
Yeah,
or did you go Dutch? What happened?
They split the bill. You know they split the bill, son.
Go Dutch.
Oh, you're ridiculous.
Of course,
she paid
for Robert.
Are you guys ridiculous?
Let me find out you told her you left the wallet at the house.
You did that, Clay. You did that move. Oh,
give
I forgot
me a break.
My wallet, Mom.
Give me a break. Come it, guys.
I know. Find out you pull out that credit card and it got declined. Let me find out that.
No, of course I paid, man. Give me a break. That has nothing to do with boxing, by the way. So come on.
Yeah, too bad, but I mean,
we're trying to shout out your mom here, man.
If you were the producer of this show, you could have a say, but since you're not the producer of this show, you have no say.
I know that, guys. I know that. You know? I'm very happy with what we've got going on.
Don't try to censor us.
Yeah. And one more thing before I leave. Dillian White, please sign your contract. What the hell is the holdup? I mean, come on.
He's going to
sign
it.
You've got to
read the contract. You got to have somebody read it for him. I don't know.
Well,
Eric,
they say there's a Monday deadline for him to sign it because Wembley Stadium is all set to host it, but they don't want to commit to it until he signs the contract.
Don't sign it, Robbie. Take it easy. Don't stop acting like a Coppinger, man.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Don't be a drama queen.
No, every time I read my Coppinger, I've got to find a second source because half the things he says, I can't believe.
Oh, that's terrible. You can't say that about him. That's not nice. Yeah, I'm all for, you know, whipping people and everything, but that's going too far, Robert.
Eric, be honest. How accurate is my Coppinger when he puts out a story?
I don't know. I don't have a barometer. You know, I don't know.
What do you think we do? We count all the times Mike Coppinger.
Right?
Like we have
nothing else to do than to follow Mike Coppinger around and count his mistakes.
Like when you were on the show, and we had that interrupting counter. We don't have a right or wrong counter for Mike Coppinger.
We should put one on.
If you read his recent articles, he's got this Canelo deal signed, sealed, and delivered. Nothing is signed, sealed, and delivered yet with that. Give me a break.
No, Canelo even came out. Yeah, Canelo even came out on it. So, yeah.
I mean, yeah, Canelo Alvarez is the man in boxing right now. He's going to do what Canelo Alvarez wants to do, no matter how much Mike Coppinger wants to write that this is done. Canelo will let you know what he's going to do and when he's going to do it.
I think he meant to spell sources.
You know.
All right, Robert.
All right, see you later, guys.
Stay on the line. All right.
I will.
All right, make sure you pay.
Make sure you pay. His card got declined. Buffalo, New York, 716-716. You're live. 716, you're live. And again, maybe you're not. I don't know. He was at the drive-thru ordering food. Oh, Corey, you should do that? Yeah, can you guys come back to me in like 5 minutes? I'm like, no. Why not? Let's just put the show on hold. Well, why not? What are you doing? Not on. What are you doing? All right, news and rumors here. Floyd Mayweather appeared on a show called the Pivot Podcast, whatever that is. I guess we've got like some pro athletes on it or whatever. While he was on there, Mayweather confirms that he hasn't paid Logan Paul. He said, quote, "This comes with the territory," said Mayweather. "To them, that's real money. And I like the YouTubers. The money on the back end is enough to pay, you know, on the back end, though, it's from pay-per-view takes a while. Nothing comes right away. I'm still collecting checks from 7 or 8 years ago. I don't believe that. They just hate when the table is turned. Be happy with the biggest payday you ever got in your life." What a deadbeat. What a deadbeat, man. Like, who doesn't pay?
Well, I think what Logan Paul's talking about is the pay-per-view revenue that he was – the percentage of the pay-per-view he's supposed to get.
Really takes that long?
I don't think it does, but no, I think what Mayweather is doing is he's trying to slow pay him a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's got IRS problems and, you know.
Yeah, but Mayweather, you know, he's not very liquid.
No.
And you got to sell
a couple cars to pay him off.
Yeah, and then people are saying, well, why does Mayweather have to pay him? Because Mayweather was the promoter
event. That's his event. That's why you always want to go through a commission. That's why you always want to go through a commission, man.
I agree.
Yeah. Not good, man. Not good. You know, everybody gets on Dana White for underpaying fighters and everything. This guy didn't even pay his fighters. You know,
he doesn't pay. He doesn't pay. Mrs. Carr payments. Doesn't pay. People
stiffing
who do
jewelers and all that.
Stiffing jewelers. Doesn't pay people like not paying landscapers. A lot of people coming after this dude.
Yeah. Right. Jeez. Insane. Manny Pacquiao, Beeb, your boy, is trailing in the Filipino presidential race, and he's trailing pretty bad from what I understand. So if he wants to be president, he's probably going to have to wait here. He says he's trailing, but he's not withdrawing yet. But there's no – it's almost like, once you're trailing that bad, you're not making it, son. He said to stay in for a little while longer. Ferdinand Marcos Jr. is leading the race there. But listen, man, I wouldn't count Pacquiao out. I'd count him out this time, but I wouldn't count him out again. He had to run a couple times for Senate. He had to run a couple times for Senate before he actually got in. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, he's, listen, I wouldn't exactly count him out as, just because he didn't miss this run as president doesn't mean he'll miss the next one or whatever. He'll keep trying. Mike Coppinger says that Vasyl Lomachenko is the front runner for George Gambosos. And that fight will take place in Australia. Beeb, do you buy this?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Because Ryan Garcia would be the logical pick, but who knows? I mean, who knows?
Every other week there's a different front runner for a numerous amount of fights. So given Coppinger's track record, I'm highly skeptical that Lomachenko is the front runner.
Right.
Because I think it's the toughest fight.
I think it's by far the toughest fight.
Out of Haney, Garcia, and Lomachenko. Lomachenko.
I think Haney and him are A1A1B.
We talked about this on the roundtable, and I'll be brief. A lot of people are criticizing Haney, saying Haney's outpricing himself, this, that, and the third. But Eddie Hearn is the guy he's the guy with the checkbook, right? So if he's saying that Haney agreed to everything and he has no problem going to Australia, so I think I'm going to believe the guy who actually writes the check and pays the fighter instead of like all these other rumors out there. Now, possibly Top Rank could have put a better offer together than Matchroom did. That's quite possible. Just like, Top Rank and Queensberry outbid Eddie Hearn. It seems like Eddie Hearn's getting out-hustled a little bit as of late, right?
Yeah.
So that could be the case. But I don't think it's a case of Haney pricing himself out, not wanting to fight. Kambosos is definitely the A-side fighter in this scenario here, but he has a B-side promoter. With all due respect to Lou DiBella. Lou DiBella is a promoter, doesn't have a network deal, doesn't have the piggy bank and the checkbook that Top Rank and Eddie Hearn has via DAZN. So they're going to have to be given offers. They are in no position to make offers. They're not in a position of power in terms of making offers. So whoever is the highest bidder possibly will get that fight.
Yeah, I think, you talk about I think Haney and Lomachenko are probably the two toughest, and Ryan Garcia is no cakewalk for him either. I think that's a winnable fight for Kambosos. I don't think he beats Lomachenko. I know he doesn't beat Haney. I don't think he beats either one of those guys.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. I want to see Haney and Lomachenko. This fight will never happen, but it's a fight I'd love to see.
Yeah. I just want to see Haney get a big fight.
I do too. He deserves it. He deserves a big fight, man. He does.
So if you ask me who I want to see Kambosos fight next, I want to see him fight Haney next.
Yeah. Haney deserves it. Haney deserves a big fight. He does.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, I know he's unproven in the sense that he hasn't had that marquee fight yet. Lomachenko's had a couple of – he's had a lot of marquee fights.
Sure.
So you can – you'll rank him higher, and I get that. I get that. But
I just want to see him.
For me, passes that eye test, man. He's just, and I've said this all along. I think he's one of the best fighters, if not the best.
So you've been very high on him, and again, he has a lot of potential. He's 23 years old. Just want to address one comment by Nacho. He says, Bill Haney is out here saying that the fight would sell out a stadium in the U.S., but they couldn't sell out Mikova Arena. Stop it! They never wanted to go to Australia. Plain and simple. Again. This is what I said on Thursday. You got to stop believing these fighters' fathers.
Yeah.
Bill Haney is not in a position of power Teofimo Lopez Sr. is not in a position of power. Angel Garcia, they're not in positions of power. They're not writing checks. Okay? If Eddie Hearn said that we put a deal together and Haney has no problem going to Australia, then I'm gonna believe Eddie Hearn. Bill Haney basically said that we could do the fight here in the stadium. He was concerned about the COVID restrictions over in Australia.
Yeah.
And everyone just took that and ran with it. Oh,
right.
Devin doesn't want to go to Australia. Again, I just don't believe that Devin doesn't want the fight. I just don't believe it.
Devin said he was openly, he said he would go to Australia, you know. And they know. I mean, they're not stupid. They know he can't sell out a stadium here.
We got to stop believing these fighters' fathers because they're living vicariously through their sons.
Yes.
Right? And that's that. Teofimo Lopez Sr. said that Teofimo Lopez's next fight's going to be, his next two fights are going to be on pay-per-view after the Campos's fight. So are we supposed to believe that now, too?
Yeah.
Come on, like, stop believing what their fathers, what, and then Bill Haney says, well, I'll go into my pocket. Well, you're gonna pay George Campos.
He's got that deep pocket, you know.
Come on,
yeah, right.
Stop it. Eddie Hearn's got a $200 million a year deal with the Zone. I mean,
you seen Eddie Hearn's house?
He's got this. Don't worry about it.
Let me see what I got in my wallet. Here.
Let Eddie Hearn write the check. Eddie Hearn writes it. I'm gonna believe the guy who's writing the check.
Brian Arabali says, is it true that Tio Jr. has joined Eddie Reynoso? I haven't heard that.
It's a rumor, but it's not official.
Is it a rumor? I haven't even heard that rumor.
Yeah, I've heard the rumor, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. That's, to me, that might be a long shot because, you know, the father, him and the father are very close. No matter what you think of the father or whatever, him and the father are very close. It would be very difficult if the father was not completely out of the way of training for him to move on to a different guy. Because could you imagine working with the father in camp? There ain't no way. No way that works with anybody. No way.
Yeah.
Coppinger is also saying that Canelo is close to signing a deal with the Zone to fight Bivol and Triple G. The deal is not signed yet, obviously. But they said that he turned down a deal with PBC for Charlo and Benavidez. Now, Canelo came out and said, listen, unless you hear it from me, it's not true. Nothing is true unless you hear it from me.
If someone sends somebody an email and that person doesn't respond to the email, this is something else we talked about on the roundtable. So if I send you an email and you don't respond to it, are we actually in talks? Are we communicating? No, I'm sending you an email. You didn't respond to it. That's not, we're in talks.
Right.
But according to Coppinger, that's what it is.
We're in talks, yeah.
I'm gonna say this, and I don't care. I think Coppinger is a PPC show. I think that there's a person over there who's feeding him information that they know is not true, and they want Coppinger to put this information out there so certain fighters can get their name in the headlines. And they can get attention for their fighters. They're clout chasing.
What are you talking about?
They're clout chasing.
You think he's a PBC shill?
I do.
How dare you? That is just ugly. That is ugly talk.
I think he's a PBC shill.
What's the matter with you?
I think he's a PR person.
Like you think he's going to lie and stretch the truth?
Dude, if we put a polygraph on him, that shit would blow up.
Oh,
that will blow
slander
up.
That's going on is just, wow, wow.
Guilty. Guilty.
Speaking of slander, how much slander is Castaño going to get? Charlo Castaño fight has been postponed. Castaño has suffered a bicep injury, and the fight will be postponed. Incidentally, ironically enough, Tim Zhu offered to step up in Castaño's place, and I haven't heard anything from the Charlo camp. Interesting, man. I tell you what, I mean, and listen, man, the Zhu would step up and take that fight. Yeah. Take that fight, son. If you're Charlo, take the fight.
Tim Zhu is
no joke, man.
No joke, bro.
He's a good fighter, like, man. He reminds me a lot of his father, man. He really does.
Oh,
I think he's a – I don't – I think he's better. I'll tell you this. I think he's better technically than his father. I don't know if he's got that power like his dad. I mean, I know he's got power. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he's got like that crazy power, like that freakish power like his father. But I will say he's better technically than Kostya was. That's what I think.
He's more versatile because he's got a boxer's frame.
Yes.
He's a lot bigger than his dad. Was.
Yes, and he's to me he's just a better all around boxer than his father was. Yes. His father to me was always going for knockouts and that kind of thing. He was never like a technical guy.
Wasn't a split guy.
And Tim Tszyu, he's got that. He can be technical as well.
He's crafty. He's a little crafty.
He's good. He's a good fighter.
I agree.
If I'm Charlo, I mean, if you're Charlo, why not? That's a big fight, man. That's a big fight. It's a bigger fight in Australia, but it's a big fight nonetheless.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about this one here. This is what everyone wants to talk about here, White and Fury. And incidentally now, the WBC has made a belt for the Fury and White fight. It's actually really cool. It has the Union Jack on it. They call it the Union Belt. It's got the Union Jack on it. It's red, white, and blue. It's very nice, man. It's a very cool belt. I'm about as cool as my money belt back here, you know. I'll be buying that Union Belt on eBay in a couple of weeks, I guess. So, Beeb, what's the story here? They talked to Bob Arum. Bob Arum had the following to say here, and you had a good point on this, but let me talk about this, and I'll swing it over to you here. Quote from Bob Arum, he's trying to get about Dillian White, not signing. He's trying to get more money, simple as that. He's trying to hold us up. One thing, when you win a purse bid, it says that the fighters will help in ways to promote. That's sort of ambiguous, and most fighters, you know, because they're professional, they will promote. Arum told the Queensberry Promotions YouTube channel. Now he's saying, I want extra money to promote because you're stuck paying me what the purse bid said, which is $7.3 million, which is not chump change, by the way. Dillian White said, I want some more money from you, and you go out there and promote. Arum says, in our position as well, we're not going to give it to you. Now, if the fight does enormously well, yeah, we'll give you a taste of the back end where everybody's made money. But we're not going to be put in a position where you're threatening us to not participate in the promotion. If he doesn't, he's a fool. Because, again, there's always tomorrow, and even if he loses the fight, which he figures to do by participating in the promotion, he builds his own image and his own career. And secondly, and even more important, he really needs the exposure from the big fight, and his threat is that he's not going to avail himself to that exposure. He's right. Arum is 100% right. And if you don't promote the fight, you're an idiot. I mean, you're a complete idiot because, again, you're promoting yourself. You're making 7.3. If you represent yourself well in this fight, you could make who knows how much more. You know what I'm saying? Nobody, I tell you what, Dillian White may be a big deal in the UK. Over here, he's not much. Tyson Fury is a big deal in the UK. He's also a big deal here.
Becoming popular here.
Yeah,
based
absolutely.
But those Wilder fights and the WWE thing,
sure.
Pay-per-view, yeah.
Sure.
You made a good point. By allowing that to go to purse bids, they don't have to guarantee him, I guess, any pay-per-view revenue.
No.
Because it's the standard purse bid contract, I believe, and I think you pointed this out, and I think you may be correct. I don't know 100%. With 100% certainty, but I think you may be correct that the purse bid contract that they sent over to him that's required from the WBC after the promoter wins the purse bid, they don't have to guarantee him any pay-per-view revenue, right?
No, they don't.
So maybe the original deal, they would have given him pay-per-view revenue, but now they're sitting there saying, well, since you played hardball with us so long, why are we going to go out of our way to do you any favors? So he in turn is saying, well, if you're not going to give me any pay-per-view revenue, not a percentage of that, then why should I promote the fight? Because I'm going to be getting what I'm going to be getting regardless. So I understand both sides of it, but I'm kind of changed my mind a little bit with what you said, because he was the guy that was playing hardball, and it's because of him the fight went to purse bid. Because he didn't accept the original.
Well, they say, listen, if you wanted that deal, then you should have hammered out that deal.
Yeah.
You know, and you had the opportunity. You had every opportunity you wanted in that deal. And I guarantee you, he made less money on that purse bid than he would have if he would have took that deal. And he knew this going in.
Yeah.
You knew it going in. Instantly, real quick, King Pound for Pound, King Boxing Pound for Pound, thank you so much, brother. He's a new subscriber here, so thank you. We appreciate it. Again, man, he knew this going in.
Yeah.
That if it went to purse bid, you never make as much money as if you can hammer out a contract. And you let it go to purse bid. Well, now the ball's in your court, son. You know, and if you don't want to promote Lou, whatever. You don't promote. Tyson Fury will go out there and promote all day.
I understand where he's coming from, but then again, he put himself in this position.
You put yourself in that position.
You know, he really put himself in this position. So,
you know, Lennox was best said, you guys are misinformed. He made more money on it. Maybe. Prove it.
You're going to have to prove that because here's the thing. If
nine times out of ten, you make less money on a purse bid.
Yeah. The reason why he could potentially make less money on the purse bid was because if they gave him a smaller guarantee, right, but they gave him a percentage of the pay-per-view revenue, would have made more than just getting the guarantee from the purse bid.
Yeah.
That's what you have to understand. So
that's the thing. I mean, you're getting a back-end piece of the money. You're getting, you know that pay-per-view is going to be huge in England.
So to be perfectly honest with you, can I say with 100% certainty that he's making more or less with the purse bid? No. But I think if he was able to negotiate a deal and take a $6 million guarantee and possibly 20 to 25% of the pay-per-view revenue, this fight's going to be huge over in the UK. So if it does a million pay-per-view buys and he's getting a 25% of the pay-per-view revenue, and if he's getting 25% of the pay-per-view revenue over here, then he could be making more than just $7.2 million.
Yeah.
Because you're going to take his $6 million guarantee, and then you're going to take his pay-per-view upside. On top of that, he could have potentially made it $11, $12 million instead of $7.2.
And listen,
That's all I'm saying.
You know, and if you like it, then sign it. Shut up and sign it. And if you don't like it,
Lennox was best. You forget that I have connections with Top Rank. I have numbers. There was potential for him to get 20 to 25% of the pay per view revenue.
Yeah.
From what I was told. So that's all I'm trying to tell you.
There it is. Yeah, I mean, and you know, again, you're just shooting yourself in the foot. You know, by not promoting this fight. I mean, you really are. I mean, you're just shooting yourself in the foot. And you know what? If he doesn't sign that contract tomorrow and this expires and Tyson Fury goes his way and Dillian White goes his way, he will never get a title shot. Never. And the story, who's gonna put him up? He's no longer going to be the number one in the WBC. They'll drop him from those ratings because he refused to fight. They're not going to keep him on there. Listen, they made him mandatory for, what, 8 years or something stupid? I mean, how many years was he mandatory? He was for a long time.
Long time.
You know, I don't know how many years, but I mean, it was a long time.
Like almost two and a half years.
And then he finally gets his shot, and this is the way you act.
Like two years or something like that?
Not to mention, by far, the biggest payday of your career. By far. Has to be.
Now Nacho says he's getting seven plus. I heard he's getting $7.2 million, and he could get an extra $4 million if he wins the fight. But once again,
$7.3 million is what he's getting.
7.3, it says.
That's what Aram said. Okay. Yeah.
All right, 7.3. But again, if he took the $6 million and he got a 20% of the pay per view revenue, win or lose, once again. That's a better deal.
Yeah.
I mean, am I wrong here? I mean,
I don't know. I think that, again, if he had hammered out that deal, you know, listen, this is what you wanted. You wanted to go to purse bid. You went to purse bid.
Because it's a purse bid contract, it's not required that he gets pay-per-view revenue now. It's a standard purse bid contract. You get the split. It's 80-20 of what the bid was, and then the $4 million to the winner. There's nothing in there about pay-per-view revenue. Now, if he took the 5.5 and he got and he got 20% of the pay-per-view revenue, then once again, could have got more money on the back end.
That's it. You know, I mean, you really, like I said, man, he shot himself in the foot. And listen, you're getting $7 million. How much? I mean, $7 million, the biggest payday in his career, and he's going to flush it. You know,
Lennox was best is talking about the arbitration. Okay, here's the problem with that. If he doesn't sign the contract tomorrow, right, the WBC will rescind his mandatory status, and then he won't be able to get the fight, regardless of the arbitration, because he won't be the mandatory anymore.
Yeah, Brian Arabali says that White's going to get millions regardless. He should be happy. He shouldn't be unhappy and consider himself fortunate enough to get a shot at the ring belt.
Arbitration is going to be useless if he doesn't sign the contract tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, that would
be useless.
And then if that thing expires,
arbitrator can tell a sanctioning body who they have to make for their mandatory challenges.
What is he talking about? 7.3 plus maybe 4 for winning is more than 5.
I mean, I'm not going to keep repeating myself because, again, right, he was going to get potentially 20% of pay-per-view revenue with that 5.5,
yep,
win or lose. Now it's out the window, brother, because it's a standard purse bid contract does not require the promoter to give a fighter pay-per-view revenue. It's 80-20 of what the bid was. And then the WBC has that 10% that's set off to the side. So that's it.
You know, I don't blame him for being ticked off. He's getting $7 million. Fury's getting 30.
Exactly. The arbitration is for the percentage. But there is no percentage if he's not going to be the mandatory anymore.
Right.
That's it.
That's it. And that's the only reason they were negotiating with him, because he's a mandatory, yeah? That's it.
Have to fight him. That's what Frank Warren said. They don't have to fight him. He no longer will be the mandatory challenger.
That ain't good. I mean, listen, if he's got that blow off money where he can just say, the heck with it, I'm not fighting, hey, good on you. I mean, but he has cried that he's been the mandatory.
Listen,
he's had the biggest mouth when it's come to he's the mandatory, blah, blah, blah. Shut up and sign, or you'll never get this opportunity again. And if you don't get the opportunity again, I don't want to hear you crying about it, because you had it and you blew it.
No, I have no problem with him trying to get more money. I just don't. I have no problem with it. But, you know, the situation is what the situation is. And you did make it more difficult for yourself, because if you're going to sue the sanctioning body, then once again, they're not going to go out of their way to do you any favors. If you didn't sue them, maybe they would have made it 70-30
right
for you, you know. And if this didn't go to purse bids, then you more than likely could have gotten a share of the pay-per-view revenue. But now, because you forced this fight to go to purse bids, a standard purse bid contract does not require I keep repeating myself, but I'm gonna have to keep hammering home because people don't get it. Does not require the promoter to pay you pay-per-view revenue upside. Now, they can do that for Tyson Fury, because Tyson Fury is their fighter. And of course they're going to do Tyson Fury favors. You're not under contract by them. They're not going to do you any favors. They're going to give you the bare minimum of what they have to give you, because number one, you're not their fighter. Number two, you've made things difficult for them. You dragged out the process and you made them go to purse bids, right? And you forced them to bid an exorbitant amount of money that they may potentially be in the hole for. So you put them in a situation that could be tough for them. So why are they going to go out of their way to do you any favors? The WBC is not going to go out of their way to do you any favors because you sued them.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
This is where we're at.
Out of luck, son. That's all you
this
got.
This is where we're at. I mean, it is what it is. You know?
Tony Boswell had an interesting question here, and completely off the subject here, but about the Kambosos fight. He said, what sells better, Lomo versus Kambosos or Kambosos versus Haney? To me, I tell you what, in Australia, and I think this is kind of like we were talking beforehand, before the show, about the Canelo fighting. It doesn't matter who he fights. In Australia, it doesn't matter who he fights. It'll be a big ticket. It's a coin flip. It doesn't matter. Here, if he fights, I think the Lomachenko fight is a bigger, as far as pay-per-view here, I think Lomachenko is a bigger fight than Haney.
Eric, I'm just gonna say it one more time. Is this kid sick or is he not? Or
Is he
sick or is he just slow? If he doesn't sign the contract tomorrow, he is no longer the mandatory, and the arbitration is rendered useless.
Useless.
Did you hear what Frank Warren and Bob Arum? Do you want me to call Bob Arum right now for you to tell you that?
It's funny because he said in the chat, he was like, I love how Beeb gets all worked up over me. And I'm like, you're getting just as worked up. Like, if anybody's getting worked up, you're still talking. We changed the subject.
I get worked up over the thing I hate more than anything in the world is cognitive dissonance.
Yes.
If I show you this is a black phone, this is proof this is a black phone, and you tell me, no, Beeb, it's not black, it's charcoal.
Right.
It's fucking black. I mean, I do get worked up. Because there's a level of ridiculousness that I can't accept.
There's only so much we can put up with.
There's only so much I can put up with, and you like the stupidity meter just blows up when you talk. That's all I can say.
Real quick, we're gonna go to the phone real quick here, and then we're gonna end up here. 805, you're live.
Hey guys, what's up? Right now, you guys, hey, what's going on? You guys have been talking about this whole thing with Dillian White. I'm in agreement with you guys. At this point, I'm kind of out of sympathy for the guy because you got your promoter to put up more money in order for you to get more money from Jump. And now, if you win the fight, you end up getting an extra $4 million. So potentially he walks away with $11 million. That's a life-changing payday. I really don't understand what White is fighting about at this point. Like, it makes absolutely no sense. He acts like he's Anthony Joshua or something. Like, it's just ridiculous for him to sit there and still complain about the amount of money that he's going to get. It's just it's really hard to feel sympathetic towards him at this point. At this point, if he doesn't sign, yeah.
Can I ask you a question? I'm sorry to interrupt you. Say you work for Beeb Industries, right? And you sued Beeb Industries. and you sued Beeb Industries, right? Am I going to go out of my way to give you a bonus?
No, you have no reason to.
Okay.
So,
That's it. I mean, like, he's basically taking an aggressive stance against both Bob Arum, Frank Warren, and the WBC. He's at odds with all three entities, right? All three parties involved, he's at odds with. He thinks that they're going to go out of their way to take care of him after that? You're suing the WBC. Mm-hmm. You forced Bob Arum and Frank Warren into a purse bid, and they had a bid $41 just to get the fight. Now you think they're going to do you favors on top of that?
Right, they're not. Not going to do you any favors, son.
Come on.
None.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
No.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if Hearn had won the purse bid, then that's a different story. But he didn't. And so, you know, White has to accept the terms of the contract at this point. But like I said, though, the fact that he's getting seven – and he could win an extra four if he wins the fight. I mean, I don't understand what this dude is whining about. Like, at what point do these guys not realize that when you're not the quote-unquote A-side, you have to take short money in order to get the fight? And then if you get the fight and you beat the guy, then you can come back and negotiate on your terms. Like, I really don't understand how hard it is for these guys to understand that. Like, you would think Dillian White would be smart enough to realize, like, yeah, okay, I'll take short money, but if I beat Tyson Fury and he wants a rematch, guess what? Then I get to dictate the terms of how much money I get the next time. Like, it's not that difficult to figure that out, but for some weird reason, he keeps insisting like he thinks he deserves more money. So, if he doesn't sign it, then oh well, it is what it is. But, I mean, I'd be really hard-pressed to see him. I'd be really hard-pressed to see him just say, you know what, I'm not taking your $7 million. Who does that? Like, really?
Well, one of the names being thrown around was Andy Ruiz. I'd much rather see Andy Ruiz than Dillian White. I don't think that's I don't think Dillian White really, you know, he doesn't have a shot at beating Fury.
And how much better of a shot does Ruiz have, though, Eric, to be honest? Like, I mean, he might be a little bit more competitive.
How much of a shot did he have? Listen, man, how much of a shot did we think he had against AJ?
True. Yeah, that's very true.
So, hey. Yeah.
But,
all right, Nacho, we're going to run here because we got to wind up the show here. We're going to wind up a little bit early here. So thanks for calling in, my man. Nacho's always got the good calls. So, man, Ruiz can Brian Arbali says Ruiz can be white. Yeah, he can absolutely be white. You know, listen, man, anything can happen when you get in there. Anything can happen. You know, so that's what you got to keep in mind, man. It is, you know, one of those things. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73. And a big thank you to JC. A big thank you to JC. So we appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for the super chat. We appreciate it. And we're going to catch you guys next week. All right. Should be lots of news next week. So, all right, guys.